Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. What a great morning. I'm sitting here looking at the temperature and it's 76 degrees. I'm thinking, how nice. I need to get out, get in my RV and go down the road and park in a park and chill out for the weekend. That's the wonderful thing to do. So it's a great day. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to thank God that we're here to be of service to Him. So just get on your P's and Q's. Find out what God wants you to do. And as they say, start doing it because we're only here for this second. We don't know what the next second is going to bring. So we live it from second to second, realizing that we must do something in that little split time, from 1 second to the other. That's like taking in a breath, between the breath. Life, you have life, or you can lose it. So don't waste it. Ask the Lord, what can you do to be of service to Him today? And I'm sure the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, and then do it. As they say, just do it. Jesus' mother told him, told the gentleman, I'm trying to do two things here at the same time, so forgive me. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. So Nike didn't come up with that phrase. Jesus' mother came up with that phrase. Whatever he tells you, just do it. Don't question it, just do it. So that's all we need to know. Just do it. Now let me see, go to the switchboard here. And, okay, here we go. Cynthia, good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
All is well, Dr. Fletcher. All is well. I'm resting and back home. Audience, you know I've been traveling for a minute, so I'm back home and I am rested and I'm resting. Despite the fact I have work to do today, I am okay. And I'm okay. Thank you.
Well, all right, then. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody?
All is well. How are you?
Pick it up. How y'all doing this morning? Good morning.
I am blessed, highly favored. I'm up and moving. All my limbs are working. My eyes, my ears, my nose, everything is functioning to a 100% capacity. All is well.
Yeah, we're here to bring the good news. The good news. We can't come dragging. We got to bring the good news. Good morning. Good morning. That's what I'm talking about. Deborah, give us the prayer this morning. Keep it rolling.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for life. We thank you for our ABMs, our body functioning. We thank you for the movement of the brain, the working and the function of all the organs in the body. We thank you for everything, Lord, this day. We thank you right now that you can use us, Lord, for your glory. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to come before the world, whoever is listening, to give a word, Lord, not to them, but from us, from you, to them. We thank you for using us. We thank you for doing all that you're going to do. Open the hearts of the people. Touch the hurting souls right now. Those just looking for a word. Touch the heart. Mend their souls, Lord. As you do what you do, Lord, let us not be mindful to come back and give you glory and to give you praise and give you honor for all that you do. We thank you. Have your way now, Lord. Bless this service. Bless this opportunity right now that you're giving us that we might not ever see again. So we won't take it for granted that this will be another opportunity. This is as our last time. Let's thank you as if it's our last time, Lord. Then we do it to you as if it's our last time. We never know. We never know, Lord. We just thank you for this day. Just use us as you can. And God, we thank you for loving us when we didn't love ourselves. We thank you for giving us forgiveness and grace and mercy. We thank you for all that you give us, the little things to the great things. We thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All right. I know it's been an exciting, exciting last 3.5 weeks. Audience, there's a lot of things going on. You know, you want it to move real fast, but if you move real fast, it'll pass you by and you won't even know what happened. So you got to just go with the pace. And when I say that, Deborah, of course, you know that we were down in South Florida and we were teaching, Cynthia and I, at the Bible College, Mother and Daughter Bible College there at the Work Release Center. And we came back, Cynthia flew back to North Carolina with me, and we actually spent 2 weeks working on finalizing the Mother and Daughter Bible College to go online. And praise God, we got enough going that we can actually introduce the online classes in September. And it's a lot of work, and I can understand why Professor Oliver, our Cynthia, can be dragging because she came out of Atlanta and it's just been going, going, going. But I just, you know, I just go project. I'm tired too, but I said, you know what? I decided yesterday I'm not going to go down. I'm going to go up. You know, I'm going to rise above this because we got it done. And it's done. It's finished. God is pleased. And it's just so many things that happened just on yesterday. When we finished the project and Cynthia left on Thursday, yesterday being Friday, God opened two major doors, and I was just like, wow. See, when you do what he tells you to do, he's going to open doors for you. You do what he tells you to do, and then you're going to walk right into what he has because it's already planned, and you just got to know. And I'm just looking, and I said, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to get excited. I'm just going to just look at it. And but this is the day after we said we are finished on Thursday. Send it off. We are done, and yay, celebrate. You know, we did it unto the Lord, and then he opened some doors. So that's all I can say. So, you know, I'm excited because what else do I have to do but do what the Lord has asked me to do? There's nothing else, no other purpose for me on this earth. And I thank God for the two of you ladies because we get on Saturday morning, we come out, audience, we come to give you what the Lord placed on our hearts. And then we just share it. A lot of it is our own experiences, and it's what we learn in our Bible studies. We learn in our life situation. We all are just like you. We are experiencing life every day, every second, from one second to the other. Doesn't make us any better. Doesn't make us an expert at anything, and certainly not an expert at the Word of God. So what we do is share and hope that it will touch someone's heart, and it will open up your mind to go to the Bible, read, to talk to God, and to find out for yourself. Or it may be something that adds to something that you are thinking about. You know, you have these intro conversations going on in your head, and then all of a sudden you get confused, and the Holy Spirit may just say a word through us that may give you some clarity. You know, we just talk about testimonies. We're just sharing our life history. We're sharing what the Holy Spirit tells us and what we feel on the inside. And that's how he speaks to you. He's going to speak to you two ways. He's going to come through your intro conversation, or he's going to come through man. And your intro conversation are those ongoing conversations in your head. Those are the only two ways God is going to communicate with you. And that intro conversation, out of the heart comes what? The abundance. So what you got in your heart, you're going to confuse. You're going to have in that conversation in your head. And then if you can't get it that way, he's going to speak to man, some man, some woman, is going to be able to say something that's going to confirm what the Lord has already told you. It's not going to be anything that we say that the Lord didn't tell you. And what we say is not for everybody. It's going to hit different people at different times. But I do believe God is using us as a vehicle to go out there and deliver the word and share some good news. So that's why we do it on Saturday morning, to bring good news. So, ladies, I thank you. I'm going to give my thought, and then I'll come back and pick you guys up, okay?
Okie dokie.
All right, audience, let's go right into it. It's a lot to do this morning, I tell you. We're talking this morning, our topic today, let's look at last week for the ones that wasn't on. We talked about mothers, where there is a will, there is a way. And we wasn't talking about the mother's will or the mother's way. We're talking about the will of God. Where God has already provided his will, that's your way. There's no other way that you can go and be successful and sustain what you need to have or what the desires that of your heart or what God is asking you to do if you're outside of the will of God. Because his will is his word, and his word is his promises, and that's what he's going to do. Sometimes people say, you know, you never know what God's going to do. You never know what God's going to do. And I heard Keith Moore said one time, yes, you do. He said, I know exactly what God's going to do. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He cannot do anything other than his word, because his word is the power. His word is the authority. And that's why Jesus said to us, and then that was the message, I only do what the Father tells me to do or say what the Father tells me to say. So if Jesus had to do it, you know we had to do it, because he knew that's where the power was. So when you are looking at something and you're trying to figure it out, go to the Bible, see what God said about it. Whether he said it through Abraham, whether he said it through Elijah, whether he said it through Moses, it doesn't matter. It's his word. He used the various prophets to speak and to deliver the word to the people. And same thing with Jesus. He used Jesus to deliver the word. This is the final word. Jesus came to deliver the final word. Get it? He said, I come, verily, verily, I say to you, he means I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. This is it. This is what he's saying. Please believe me. So when we get to this point, when we're trying to figure out what it is God wants us to do, it's in the book. Go look at it. Go Google red words, what Jesus said in the Bible. And it just spit out everything that Jesus said. And just read that. I read that sometimes. I forget all about what Paul is saying and what John is saying and what, you know, and even though that's inspired by the Holy Spirit, I said, let me just see what Jesus said. And it's amazing. You think that if you pull what the red words out from the context of the story itself and the full testimony, would it make sense? It makes perfect sense. It will just enlighten you from a different perspective. So I encourage you to do that sometime. Just sit down and just read the red words, what Jesus said. And you know, that came directly from the Father. So if it came directly from the Father, it would be just like Jesus told Satan. Hey, it is written. You know, you can't tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. So anything that's written, that's the will of God, and that's what he's going to do. He's not going to change it for you, me, or nobody. That's what he's going to do. His word, once it's written. Now, he can change his mind if you ask him to do something. But see, that's not written. But whatever's written, that's it. That's the will of God. So that's kind of what we talked about last week. You know, that's the way. That's the only way that you're going to get where you want to go, mothers. And once you get it, then we encourage you to teach your daughters, because the whole purpose of mother and daughter bonding roundtables here is to get the mother to look at her situation and seeing, okay, what I'm doing, is this going to really be a blessing to my daughter or daughters? Is it going to be a blessing? Because eventually that daughter's going to repeat what she sees and hears from her mother. She got a cursing mother, she's going to be a cursing daughter.
unless and she finds someone come across her path and show her a different way, because it will be her norm. Whatever you feel and realize in your house, if you don't know any better as a little child, you think everybody's living in that same environment. You think everybody's life is just like your life. And that's why little girls go out and visit their girlfriends at, you know, they're 4 or 5 years old, and they go next door and they spend a half a day at their house and look around and say, oh, my God, her mother doesn't curse. Well, they don't do this in their house. Then the question starts coming to her mind, well, why are we doing it? Don't let her get another friend and get a testimony. Now you got doubt. So the, now the daughter's watching the mother, because I don't like the way it feels in our house, but I love to go to Mary's house because we have fun over there. Her mother, we play, we read stories, you know, we watch good films. Over here, we do nothing. I have to go in my room. My mother don't talk to me. See, as is the mother, so is the daughter. So we have to do what? Let's look at the topic for today. Mothers and daughters changing the picture of their relationship. That's what we have to do. We have to change that picture. Because this, and I'm going to flow right on with that story. Young girl, she sees the picture of her family, her relationship with her mother, but she wants the relationship that she sees for her with her friends. Not saying that everything in her friend's house is perfect, no. But what she sees is the relationship between her friend and her mother. And she sees how they have fun and they laugh and they play and they do games and they do things together. And her mother reads stories and her mother sit out and tell her things. And, you know, it's just that relationship, that bond. And she gets a little peek of that. She gets to look inside their world. And she's looking at that picture, which now becomes a moving picture, becomes a movie. So now she's like, I want a part in a role in this movie because I like this play. I like that. I like the way they do it. And sometimes your daughter may come home, mother, and says, well, why we got to do it this way? Mary and her mother, they do this, that, and the other. And then you get upset. You say, well, you know, you don't live at Mary's house. You live here. Sometimes it can be a negative influence. You really don't want your daughter to be a part of that. Sometimes it can be a good influence. But regardless of what, you got to stop and you got to talk to your daughter to find out what picture is she looking at and why is that picture good or why is that picture not good. So if you and your daughter, mother, doesn't have a pleasant, honest, loving, trusting relationship, then you need to stop and you need to look at it. You have to first, mother, look at it from within. You have to look within your own self and decide, what is it that I'm doing? Because you know for yourself when you don't have a good relationship with your daughter. You know that. Just like any other person, we got God has given us a sensor in our spirit that you can tell when you're doing the wrong thing, when you're going the wrong way, when you need to stop doing something, and you just keep doing it anyway, that's overriding the Holy Spirit. You don't need to do this anymore. You need to stop. Well, I'm going to stop the next time. I ain't gonna, you know, after this time, I'm not doing it. And then you do it the next time. After this time, I'm not doing it. So you're not changing the picture for your own life. When you don't change the picture for your own life, it's going to be hard to change the picture for you and someone else's life. You and your daughter. How are you going to change it for your daughter when you can't change it for yourself? So, mothers, what I'm saying to you, look at your own lens. See what you see from within. Who are you? Who are you being? What picture are you projecting before your children? Who do they see you as? Are you doing what you're supposed to do to help your daughter to become the woman that she's supposed to be? She can. It's going to be difficult. I can't say she can't, because I know many of young girls that have ventured into a different journey and found Christ, and the mother was still in the street, and the mother was still doing her thing. And the daughter going to church, the daughter gets saved, the daughter's living a life, and the daughter's trying to bring the mother in. So just because you're the mother doesn't mean that you always have the best wisdom. You're supposed to, but I've seen daughters that had to go out and get
the mother and bring the mother in. What is the picture? Let's look at the picture. So to change something, you got to alter what you're doing. You got to modify it. You know, you got to transform who you're being. And that's why God tells us to transform the mind. You got to change your mind in order to change your behavior. You got to change your mind in order to change the picture of your eternal life. You got to change your mind. You got to stop doing what you're doing, and you got to make a decision. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because I know if I don't change this picture, I'm going straight to hell. You know what the picture looked like, and you know that you're still drawing on that picture. You know you're still adding on to that picture. You got to make a decision. I'm going to stop. I'm canceling out this picture. I'm going to get a brand new canvas, and I'm going to start drawing a whole new picture, a picture of everlasting life, a picture of salvation, a picture of actually serving God, a picture of who am I, why was I designed, why was it God created me, what does he want me to do? You know, this is a part of the new drawing now, and you got to create this vision. And as you create this vision, wherever the mind goes, the body's going to follow. The body has no power, no authority. You're dealing with your mind and your spirit, your mind, which is your soul. So you got to relinquish your soul to your spirit. And once you do that, now you got a winning team. You can't lose with that team because you got the Father God, you got the Son, Jesus Christ, and you got the Comforter, the Holy Ghost that is there. Now you got a team. You got a winning team, and they are in your picture. You got four corners to that frame, and each one of them should be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you. That covers it up. What happens in the middle determines on how you write that story, how you change your mind, what words are you using to create a thought. That thought that you create creates that vision, and that vision will create your reality, so you experience what you say. That's why you have to know what to say. It's key to know what to say and make sure what you say aligns itself with what God says, and that's the power and that's the creativity that will flow through your new picture, your new design, your new artwork. Now you're a renewed person. You're not the same person. You've taken that old picture, you've just taken it and put it in a closet somewhere. You say, sometimes you find it. Sometimes it'll pop up. You'll open the closet door and it'll roll out. You look at it. You say, no, I'm going to put you right back in here. No, because you're not going to carry me back into my subconscious mind and try to get me to blame myself for old mistakes, you know, try to make me feel ashamed because I did this, or try to make me feel like God didn't forgive me. Because no, I'm putting you right back in the closet and close the door. This time I'm putting a bolt lock on it, and I can't open that door. I don't even want to open that door. That's my past, and this is where you stay. I'm looking at a whole new future. I can create whatever I want. God says, whatever I say and believe and don't doubt in my heart, that I shall have it. John 15:7, he said, if you are into me and my word is into you, whatever you ask, it will be granted to you. And I love that. I love that Bible verse because that's a promise. It is written. He wrote that down. That if you're into me, meaning that if you're studying his word, if you're conversating with him, if you've got a relationship with him, then you're into him. You're meditating with him. You're asking him. You got the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. And then you're reading the word. You're listening to other ministers. You're listening to your pastor. You're getting that word. It just keeps feeding you. He said, how would they hear except for a pastor? That's why he has a preacher. Because he said, the people will hear from the preacher. And now you're listening to a preacher. It could be someone on YouTube. I listen to a lot of pastors from YouTube. Some of them dead and gone years. The one I'm listening to now, I'm listening to sermons that he wrote in 1855. The Holy Spirit led me to this gentleman, Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, just plain spoken. 1855, and I'm thinking, my God, he's long gone, over 100 years. And the Holy Spirit led me to sermons being read by someone today that is blessing me. So what we are saying to you today, these recordings are going to be here when we're long gone. Someone is going to hear it. It's going to be a blessing. Nothing is wasted. And God showed me that. He said, just keep going. I don't have to be known by the world. Just do it. God will make sure these recordings get in the hands where they need to get to. And I'm a witness of that because he keeps bringing people to me I've never heard of before. So to change the picture is to change your thoughts. But I tell you what, once you get to John 15:7, if you could just embrace that, hold on to it, and say, this is written, this is a promise, that's going to change your picture in your mind's eye. You're going to see, because you'll know for sure. You'll know if you're doing it. You'll know if you're into him. You'll know if his word is into you. Well, if those two things happen, then he says what? You can ask me anything you want. Anything you want, and it will be granted. He cannot lie. So now it's granted, and what do? You wait on it. You wait on it. Don't jump the gun. Don't get too fast and say, oh, man, this ain't happening. I'm moving on. And time as you walk out the door, it comes around the corner. Wait. Be still and know that I'm God. That means you trust me? Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That's what Jesus tell you. Have faith in God. The most important four words in the entire Bible. Have faith in God. And if you got faith in God, you're going to believe his word. And if you believe his word, nobody, Satan can't do anything to change your mind, to upset you, or to put doubt in your mind, because doubt and faith cannot live in the same spot. If you get out of faith, pull yourself right back, repent, Father, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Wherever I'm weak, Jesus, fill in. Help me. Help me with my unbelief. Change the picture. Because you cannot have a new thing looking at an old thing. Because what? Now you're lukewarm. You're in the middle. Fighting with the old, trying to get to the new. You can't do it. You got to eliminate one. You got to choose. He said, I put before you life and death, life in one hand and death in the other. You choose. But I suggest that you choose life. That was the big hint. I suggest you choose life. Because he knows if you choose life, you choose Jesus. If you choose death, you choose Satan. But you can choose. He just wanted you to have like a little snippet of a suggestion. But he didn't tell you to choose life. He said a suggestion. It's a suggestion. You can take it or you can leave it. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can speak it. You can speak death into your life. You can speak
life into your life. And that may sound like a double, but you get the essence of what I'm saying. You're always talking negative, you're always down, you always got something bad to say about somebody. Nothing ain't never right. Just poor pitiful me. God just done dropped me off. God, where are you? Like God don't know what he's doing. You know, you're speaking death. You're speaking against the Holy Ghost. Actually blaspheming. Because especially if you're a Christian, you're either going to believe God or you're not. You got to get that. You're going to believe God or you're not. Stop playing. Make a decision. Change the picture. Choose life. I'm going to believe God. What's the best thing can happen to you believing God? You wake up in front of Jesus. That's the best thing can happen to you. You skip hell. You skip the lake of fire. So why wouldn't you believe him? Because nothing's going to happen to you. If he called you home, you're going to come home. But if you don't believe him, you're going to hell. So change the picture. Or you have the choice to keep the picture that you have. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to make you do anything. I'm just here to tell you that if you change the picture, life is so much sweeter. You don't have the stress. You have peace. You have joy. Those are the fruit that is promised to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus, he just came to make a way to save all humans, to tell you what the Father said, to share the promise of the Father. And he was the sacrificial lamb. It was his blood that was shed that gave all of us the right to salvation, gave all of us the right to the Holy Spirit. You choose. So, mothers, I'm saying to you today, if you change the picture, then your daughter's going to see that change. She's going to be curious about that change, and she's going to want to do a change herself. She's going to want to change. Because I can see it for myself with my daughter. I can see as I changed, she changed. We started doing things together, Bible study, talking together. We talk every day. Anybody know me, my daughter, it's like every day, all day, especially in the morning between 8 and 8:30 to 9, really. That's her drive time when she's going on her assignment, or even the days when she's home working from home. We still talk the same time. My mother did it with me. From the time I left home at 18, every morning, I'm not talking about one more, every morning, that was my mother's assignment before she did anything else. I cannot get up and stop my day, she said, without knowing that you're breathing. And I thought, wow. So what? As is the mother, so is the daughter. But we all have our mistakes. We all have our faults. And those are the things that we work on. So how do you do that with your daughter? You say, you know, I always tell my daughter, whatever it is that you want to know, just ask me. Some things I'd rather not even tell her. Let's just be totally honest. Some things I'd rather that she didn't ask me. But if she asked me the question, I vow to tell her the truth. That's what I vow to do, because I'm not going to lie to her. But some things, mothers, we don't want to even share. We just want to say, you know what, let's just let that go and let's move on. You know, I understand it. But if it's going to come to the point, if there's something, I always tell Angie, if there's something that you have in the back of your mind that you need to ask me, I give you permission to ask me. It may take me a moment to get myself together to explain it.
But if she has the question in her mind, then that means that is a wedge in our relationship, in the honesty part of our relationship. I'd have to do that to help her change the picture, because otherwise she's got a picture that I didn't realize she had. She's looking at me through a lens that clouds the clarity of who I am or who I am now. So I always say, let's talk about it. Let's open it up, bring it up. And she tell me, she said, well, no, I don't have anything I need to ask you. Okay. You ever, if something ever come up, just let me know. That's the best you can do, mothers. But I changed the picture of my life for me. I decided, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. This is who I want to do it with. And I made those changes because I knew those changes were going to line me up with the Word of God. And I could not be happier. Try it and see for yourself. Change the picture. Hold on to the other one and see if you like it. If you don't like it, drop the new one. Hold on to the old one. That's the goodness about God. We have the opportunity to choose. And he will let us do that too. All right, Cynthia, we're talking about changing the picture.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. The thing I it narrowed down for me, Dr. Fletcher, is mental imagery. If you don't like what you see, as our motto says, simply change if you don't like where you are, simply change what you think. I think if I'm correctly, please correct me if I'm correctly. If I'm incorrect, for me, it is all about imagery. And if you do not like what you see, you simply must change what you think, because it all starts with a thought, as you say. Our thoughts create our visions, and our visions manifest into its reality. And so when I think about a mother and daughter relationship and you don't like where it is, create in your mind what you desire it to be and let that become your habitual imagery that you have. It may not change on, you only have control of yourself. It may not change in the relationship per se, because you got two individuals working. You have your desire and she has her desire, and they may never come together. But whatever you want it to be, daughter or mother, you simply change your imagery of the relationship and focus on that. And God is working. When we believe in him, he gives us the permission to ask him, like you said, for anything. And if you want your mother and daughter relationship to change it in your mind. It may not change on the other person's behalf, because you only have control of you. So whatever you want it to be, mother or daughter, you create that image in your mind and you stay focused on that. You create the image that you desire for that relationship. God is able. But guess what? He won't force you to do anything on either end that you don't want to do. But despite that, it's about your imagery. If you are the person who desires the change and you hold on to the desire that you want for your mother and daughter relationship, God's will in life lasts. It can happen. It's not that it can't happen. I know for a fact that it can happen, because my relationship with my mother, my image of my mother relationship changed. I was 48 years old when it changed. But guess what? You just keep living and you ask God and you stay focused on the image that you put before you, and he will do it, I declare. Because for 48 years, I had a negative image. I was always trying to force the image, but it just, God allowed it to happen. My mother and my relationship changed when I was 48. She died when I was 50. So I got 2 years to live out that imagery with my mother, being able to have that conversation, as Dr. Fletcher referred to, with her daughter. I got to sit down. I got to just have that time with her where I got to know her. And I think that was the biggest image that I had in my mind all those years. I just wanted to know who she was. And I got that. And so I just thank God that I had enough faith to trust him for it and stop trying to force it over the years. And so I simply did what John 14:1 said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also." And so when I changed my life and started to just trust God with the relationship, it ended up becoming a beautiful relationship for the last 2 years of my mom's life. And so I'm a living witness that it can happen. So audience, moms, daughters, if you want the relationship to change, start with the thought. Change it in your mind and let God do the work. That's my take.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, I didn't even think about that as I was talking, but I was laying back with my eyes closed as you were talking, and I was seeing the vision of you, because I remember you saying that when you were little, you said you never really went shopping with your mother. You never went to the movies with your mother or the park with your mother. You know, things that you probably saw other children do with their mother, and just never having a conversation with your mother. And as you were talking, I was thinking, wow, what a picture she had. You had a picture. And like you said, you just wanted to know who she was. And just in that instance of going over there to get the truth at your mother's, to go and get the truth, change the picture. You are the prime example. Change the picture. You saw a different person than you had on that canvas of your eyes, because what you had was what people told you. What you were thinking in your subconscious mind, and your conversations, and wonder if it's this, or she don't love me, and this, that, the other. And then you go over there and find this beautiful lady with nine teddy bears with all her baby's names on it, you know.
Yeah.
Which had you in her heart all those years from the time you were taken from her at 17. She had a picture in her mind. And then you all came together and changed the picture. That's the perfect example. That's it, audience.
Absolutely.
Right there. So it took you 48 years to do it. So that tells anybody out there that if you think it's not going to happen, you just trust God and you wait. Because our timing is not God's timing. But he will do what you ask him to do if you are sincere and you mean it, and you ask him, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Just wait on it. That's what I was saying earlier.
And
wait.
Dr. Fletcher, I'm sorry. Allow me to say this too to the audience. You have to be listening for instructions, because if I had not followed the instructions, I would have missed that opportunity. When you challenged me to go over there, if I had been in my rebellious state of saying, well, she can come to me just like I can go to her, I would not have had that opportunity to change that imagery of my mother and how she felt about me.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to listen also, mothers and daughters, because God is instructional. He'll send somebody, as Dr. Fletcher said, to give you the instructions in order to move into where it will end up being. If I had not followed the instruction, though I went kicking and screaming, let me just be honest. If I had not followed the instructions of a wise woman that God uses, I would not have had those 2 years with my mother. So God is very instructional. That's what the Bible is, basic instruction before leaving earth. If I had not been followed those instructions, I would have missed those 2 years. I would have missed creating that image that I
so dear, that is so dear to me. I not only got to think the imagery, I got to live the imagery in those last 2 years of my mother's life. I got to be her little girl. I got to cuddle with my mom.
God have mercy. It's powerful.
So it's all about following instructions and being wise, because you can miss what God has for you if you're not, if you don't follow instructions.
Right.
Follow the instructions and God will guide you. He guides you all the way when you come to believe in him. So that's my take on it.
Wow. See how the Holy Spirit work, audience? I didn't think about that, and the Holy Spirit had that set up for you. He had it set up to give you the prime example live now, and that's a testimony that I lived through. And I know when the Holy Spirit led Cynthia to the office, just as she was getting ready to leave, he said, ask her, how is her mother and daughter relationship? That's why I like to ask people that question. How is your mother and daughter relationship? And it always pop up the truth. I mean, she says, well, you know, it's okay, it's fine, but, it was, you know, I could tell it was something. Well, when the last time you see her? And that kind of led into it. I don't want to go back through the whole thing, but that led into it. But in the beginning, she was like, well, who's this chick trying to tell me, you know, what to do? I'm coming to try to volunteer for her. But, see, the point remains is, you know, God made sure we met, had four ways, really, to make sure before we even got together, because I was not following through and she was trying to follow through. See, you got to listen, just like she's saying, because God is going to send somebody. Don't take it that somebody trying to tell you what to do or somebody trying to get in your business. If somebody tell you something, just say, okay, thank you. Go to God and ask God, because God is going to tell you, yes, do this, go there. And because she went, she got to see her mother from who her mother really was. She got a mother story live in person, and her whole imagery of her mother changed. So when they took that lady out of that house and rolled her away that she could never talk to her again, I'm sure there was a sadness, but there was a peace. And I met her mother. Took her to the Lord, so we know she's in heaven. I know for myself, she was happy. She told me, you brought me my baby. You brought me my baby. No, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit that led me to take her. But she looked at me, you brought me my baby. So it's going to happen. Woo, let's go to Deborah. Good morning, Deborah. Thank you, Cynthia. That was powerful. Good morning, Deborah.
I ain't got nothing to say behind that with Cynthia. My God, 48 years. And I'm over here worrying about the little 5-10 years. I said, Lord, when is it going to be perfect, you know? When is it going to be perfect? I just thank God for that, Cynthia. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Fletcher, for this topic, changing your picture. I was sitting here and I was saying, changing your picture. I just kept saying, changing your picture. And adjusting your lenses, you know, changing your perspective, how you see things. And something came to my mind. Apostle Paul say, you know, I became what the people were to reach them. I got in where I fit in. I came on common ground, and it made room for my gift. And God is saying that there's going to be times where you, as a mother, got to find out what your child is interested in so you can get on her level and then be able to minister when you get there. But if there's nothing in common, there's nothing in common, it's going to be hard to get there. Even being a mother, being that you provide for her and shelter, food and all that stuff, you think by right you should get a spot. But sometimes we got to work to be on common ground. Find what your child like. You know, because we could be sitting our day saying, well, my mom always tell me, she says, Well, when I was growing up, my mama didn't let me. They didn't believe in movies. They say, why go to a movie when you got a TV home? Now, that was back in 1919. You know what I mean? That was a long time ago. Mama born in 1940s. And so that was that era. Then I said, well, we do have things that's different. I would die to go back to how I used to be. You mess up down the street, the lady on the corner beat you, the next one beat you, and your mama beat you. But now I ain't know you can't say nothing to nobody kid because you can't even say nothing to your own kid. So Apostle Paul was saying, you know, I was dealing with people that say that they didn't eat meat, so I came and I didn't eat meat because I wanted to be able to minister. I came and they didn't pray on such and such. I came to minister. So whatever he said he had to do, he did it to get on common ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying to the mothers is, whatever you got to do, not what's against, you know, what God say, not go and commit sin to be on, no. If the child likes to go to the movies, take out that time. Now, let me just say this before I say it, because a lot of parents, I know, my mom never went to a movie with us that I can remember, but she made a way for us to always be together and go to the movies, the kids. You know, she made a way that we would go, we would have these out in some time, and maybe she wasn't there, but she always provided. Because the picture is now that parents are single, some parents are single, they're working two jobs to just keep the roof over their head and clothes on the kids' back and food in their stomach and send them to school. And so it's, you probably, mother's probably saying, well, I don't have time when I come home, I'm exhausted. I done worked all day. I don't want to even talk to people because I've talked out when I get home. I got to come home when the house is dirty and it's food and it looked like they done ran through all the food a month worth. They done ran through it in 2 days, and I'm just frustrated, and I ain't got time. And who's gonna counsel a counselor? You know, I get it that you're weary when you come home. I get it that you ain't got no more talk for nobody because the job done sucked the life out of you for 8 hours, gave you a 12-hour job to do an 8-hour. I get it. But if you want to be involved in the child's life, you're going to have to find a common ground, meaning set some stuff aside, come in, rejuvenate 2 hours here. Come on, this our time. What you want to do? What you want to talk about? Where you want to go? Let's just talk. You know, you got to set aside time to get to know the person that came from a baby to now a preteen. Now she's smelling herself. And so now you really need to find time, because if you don't listen, somebody will. You got to give her a heel. You got to get him a heel. You got to make time for them. You got to find a common interest to slide in there. So when I'm ministering, when I used to go with the kids at the church with the basketball, but it was not that I love basketball so much, but that was the tool where I came down on common ground. And after I get in there good on a one-on-one with the kids, and I'm talking a little something going back and forth on the court, I said, so how's school? You know, so what happened to that D? Did you bring it up? We play ball. But they're listening. They're talking back. Well, you know, I gotta work on. I got some homework. Okay, so is there anything I can help you with in math? And what's a good time I could come over? Let's talk to your mom about me tutoring you. Let me come down. So I was able to reach the kids when the parents weren't able to reach the kids because I came down on their level. And we talked about ball. They just loved me to death. But I was slide my stuff in there. You know what I mean? I found a way to get it in. I found a way to make that conversation. I found a way to spend that time. I came down, and I had a common interest. It opened the door for the gift, for me to minister, or just to have the ear, so I know what to pray about, because it ain't me making the change. It ain't me, you know, being so bright, so intellectual, philosophical. No. It was God that gave me the wisdom. And it's the word that I read when Apostle Paul say, I became what they were, and I meditate on that. He said, I became what they were. I became what they were to reach them, to come try to save them and draw them into the kingdom of God. I became what they were. I got on a common ground. Whatever it was when I met them, I got on a common ground, common denominator, so I could reach them. I mean, come down on their level, then it's easy to slide right in, parallel. But when you up and you're trying to come from a diagonal or an angle that's not straight, it's kind of hard. But when you come down on the level, parallel, you can just go shoot straight in. It's an easy shot. And so, specialisms, change how you look at things, find a common ground, and get in there, because it ain't too late. Like Sister said, 48 years. You
find that common ground. You start to just to live, to change how you look at it. It's just 2019, but there's a way, there's something they like. Find out what they like and come down. My mom said, well, we can help. Come down on the level.
Mm.
So you try to bring them up. They ain't there yet. They ain't there yet. That's why you trying to, you know, teach them some stuff. Well, I did do this when I was your age, and I'm not ashamed of it, but it's for you to learn from my mistakes. Don't say, well, let me go and work it out and challenge me. Work it. No, learn from my mistakes. I'm not ashamed. I'm ashamed where I've been, but I'm going to tell you where I've been so I can help you. Because the truth be told, like I tell people, by drugs, I say, listen, I want to get clean, and now I want to get all, you know, look, they see me out there looking like Olive Oil. It ain't no military secret that I was on drugs. Maybe everybody don't know. But I now tell people, hey, this is what it did for me. This is where it took me at. You don't want to ever go where I went, even further than. But I had to be able to tell them that from my story, you should be able to learn. So tell the story. Because the truth be told, it ain't no secret. Somebody know. Anyway.
God knows.
Expose yourself. Let them know. You know, adjust your lenses, how you look at things, you know what I'm saying, and find a way to get in. I know you're tired coming home working two jobs or working long hours and the people that exhaust you and you know, to frustrate you and you come home and you got to cook and the house ain't clean. I get it. But you better make time for them girls, especially them girls, because they like stuff in the ear. They like the heels. They're pretty. When somebody else come and tell them they're pretty, they off and gone. Somebody else tell them they get all that in a bag of chips, they off and gone. You better validate them in the house so they ain't got to look for it out the house. They're going to know where they walk with their head up. You ain't got to tell me, I know. My mama tell me every day, I look in the mirror, I know. You know, I don't need that validation because you're going to tell me the day I'm pretty, tomorrow they're going to call me ugly. So you can't let the world have you up and down. You just got to know. And so you got to tell them what the boys do, how they do, what the girls do, how they work. This is what happens. Maybe it won't be verbatim, but just watch the signs. So I just take is this, you know, Mother just the lenses, find out where you can come down on a common interest, common level, and come down and find a way to get it in there, you know. But you got to find a common interest so they drop the guard down. Really what Pastor Paul was doing was he was dropping their defense. So when he got in there with him, he was on the same side. They say, okay, he one of us, so we can drop the guard. He's not the enemy. We can drop the guard. So when the guard is blocked, it's easier to minister. So that's what Pastor Paul said. I'm going to come and break the defense, split the defense, come down to their level, and slide that word right on there. That's what he did. That's what he did.
Great. That is a great take, Ms. Deborah. And for the audience, that is 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. And the last two verses is really what it's all about. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I may save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Awesome job, Ms. Deborah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise you always come in. I ain't got nothing to say. And then just put the icing all on the cake. I run all over on the table and down the side of the cabinet. But you ain't got nothing to say. Praise God. I'm glad you ain't got nothing to say. That was all.
I ain't got nothing to say. But God, I ain't got nothing to say.
Amen. 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 That was absolutely phenomenal, ladies.
Well, what came to my mind was what came to my mind was when you were talking that coming to a common ground. I always tell mothers and daughters when they're in my office that, mother, you expecting the daughter to come up 20 years. Say you had her when you was 20. You got 20 years of experience in life that she doesn't, but you expect her to come up to you. No, you got to come back into her world because you can always go back. But a person can't go up 20 years. You see what I'm saying? So you got to come back. And that was a prime example of that. And then as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and saying, where mothers miss the ball is when we stop eating at that table. Because when you had them, everybody is, that's a common place for eating. And that's something that I do now because I was raised eating at that table. I was raised
eating with people, when you eat with somebody, you can bond with them. And that's what's missing. The children in the room looking at TV on the game, eating their food, the mother in her bedroom on the computer eating her food. Nobody's at the common ground at the table. At the table is where when you're eating, everybody can come together with one thought of love, and everybody can share their day. And you can't tell me you don't have time to spend time with your children when everybody's got to eat. So I'm going to put that out there, mothers. Let's just come to the table. Some houses don't even have a table. But find you a table or get on the floor in a circle. Make sure you all eat together and find out how was your day. And those children will start talking, and they'll look forward to having those meals. That's our take. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies, that's our show. I'm telling you, it went by fast. That went by fast. Thank you. What a blessing. Hello?
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. We're here. We're here.
Bye, audience. We'll talk to y'all later. See you
next
week,
audience.
Ladies.
Love you, ladies.
Bye-bye. Love you, too.